Hello, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Road, the transportation industry podcast where we talk all things transportation and logistics. Joining me today to talk about pricing in 2023 is Reed. Reed works in the pricing department at Anderson Trucking Service. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Reed. What is your current title?
My title is Corporate Pricing Manager. I've been with ATS for 5 years now. Kind of a small group, kind of unique little situation we got at ATS, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, what do you do?
We price contract spot for the van, the flatbeds, the heavy haul, a little bit of everything.
Kind of a wild part of the company to work in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ebbs and flows
yeah. With the market.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So today I want to talk to you a little bit about, freight rates in 2023, 2022, 2021, what's been going on. You know, we hear a lot of chatter in my neck of the woods, at least, and I suppose on the sales floor too, about, you know, freight rates have been incredibly volatile this last year. I don't know if that's a holdout from 2022 or, you know, when all that started, but can you kind of tell me a little bit about, what you've experienced from your perspective as a pricing supervisor?
Yeah, so we kind of... Trucking market comes in cycles a lot of the time. When I first started in 2018, we were kind of on the downturn of a cycle. Yeah. And so everyone made the joke of, as soon as we got a pricing guy, everything went to crap right away and we got to figure it out. And so what's different though in this 2023 is we kind of came off all-time highs with COVID. Everything needed to be shipped fast. A lot of consumer products, toilet paper.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so we're coming down from those highs. And we're coming back to a normal level. And some of these drivers' expectations are a lot different now because they've seen that. A lot of logistics companies have felt the profits that come with those highs.
Yeah.
And so coming down from that uphill, you know, that peak has hurt a lot more this year than it has in the past.
From your perspective, like, how long does a cycle typically last? Like, when is, like, you go from, like, if you're at a peak... How long does it take for you to, you know, get through the valley and back up to a peak typically?
I like to attribute it to about a full year at least. Just looking at the contract cycle, you know, a lot of these companies will go all in on certain lanes and certain bids, and that's what's going to hold them steady for an entire year.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, you have different opportunities in front of you and you can change things up. The way that this one has worked, we kind of had a downhill battle for about 2 years now. So it's been a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
But again, you're coming from a, you know, unpredictable circumstances before that.
Yeah. When would you, I remember, so I started at ATS in, what was that, 2021, and it was kind of like a all hands on deck, like money's just like raining kind of deal.
Like, felt that
just,
way.
Yeah. Just like, try and get it while you can, it felt like. So when did that start and when did we start seeing a dip?
So 2021 was interesting because everybody held off. It was starting to increase in the end of 2020. Everyone held off on their contract rates to try to wait for this to stop. Yeah. And then they got to about January, February, and they said, okay, we better lock in our lanes because we're losing our chance to get trucker capacity. So everyone locked in contract rates right then, about February, March. Yeah. And then a lot of this stuff was, they were bidding for trucks. There wasn't enough trucks to cover all the freight.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so everyone's going to the spot market. And we know, you know, as a shipper that everybody needs a truck and it's hard to find that truck. And so we're bidding this freight higher and higher just to make sure that we're going to make that margin and find a truck in a timely manner. And so for a while there, it was just spot quotes like crazy.
Okay.
And if that contract rate couldn't compare to a spot rate, they would just let that contract rate go. Then that shipper's forced to throw it to the spot side. So it was so spot heavy. Everything that the logistics side was doing was just 100% spot quoted. And all those contract customers kind of didn't see that as many of the highs at the time.
Yep.
But then you're kind of holding that steady and then the lows don't hurt as bad.
Sure. And that, so the customers that were locking in contract rates when before the peaks of, what was that, 21, 22? Is that late 21?
They were locking them early 21 for the most part. The
anticipating that race would be
continuing to go up, and there was no end in sight for that. And so the spot market dominated for the entire 2021 and the early 2022.
Yeah.
Contracts started to come through, but then contract on the decline of 2022, you would put a contract rate in, spot rates would come down so fast that now is the flip side of the coin where, okay, we could give you this contract rate, or if we put it to the spot side, we're going to be a lot cheaper to ship all of our freight. Our transportation budget's going to benefit from sure. spot side. So there wasn't a lot of relational between shippers and carriers at that yeah. point. It was, where are we going to make the most money and find trucks at the same time? Okay. We took advantage of it at the time in 21. They continue to take advantage of it now.
Yeah, isn't that kind of, that's so funny that happens. You know, so it is a cyclical industry, right? And rates ebb and flow like that, as you said, over the course of like 1 to 2 to 3 years, typically,
yeah. in
a normal cycle. And then when rates are lower, you know, shippers take advantage of that. And then the opposite is true when the rates go back up, I suppose. So,
yeah. It's economic, supply versus demand.
Yeah.
How many trucks do you have? How many loads do you have? You know, and at the time, an interesting stat is during 21, if a driver ran 100,000 miles a year, they were making a comfortable salary. They were making good money. They have to drive 155,000 miles a year in current state rates to make the same amount of money.
My gosh.
And so now you have an influx of drivers that see that pay. They come into the market. They hang on as long as they possibly can.
Yeah.
There's less loads to go around now. And you have to drive more to make the amount of money that you were promised up front.
Sure.
And so now it's just a bulk of drivers that are trying to hang on to that and try to drive more. And then it sucks up all of the capacity.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what we're seeing in 2023 in each of the major sectors of the transportation marketplace? So van, open deck, I don't know, oversize.
Yeah. So 2023, the way it's played out,
I know it's been difficult on vans.
Yeah. Vans, it feels like we're starting to get to the bottom. There's some things that point to it. There's anything that could happen with interest rates and any wars going on that could absolutely change the trucking market.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the van decline has hit a point where these trucking companies no longer are staying profitable.
Mm-hmm.
They have to find means of efficiencies through loaded percentage, making sure that we're constantly loaded, getting drivers out of the house faster. And they've exerted their efforts on all of that at this point. And the rates are so cheap that we're barely covering the fuel on our empty miles at this point. So it feels that the van rates are kind of close to the bottom.
Yeah.
Flatbeds, so far, it's been less of a decline. We kind of were surprised by that because we thought with interest rates, the growth rates in the U.S. would be a lot slower.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe there would be a little less housing starts or development or building, and that kind of impacts the flatbed market the most.
Yeah.
And to this point, so far, it's been a pretty healthy year. Now, I still think that flatbeds have a good 10%, 15% to come down on rates. And the way that we've been bidding contracts is pretty competitive. We want to secure that volume before other people can.
Gotcha.
The heavy haul market, I know you kind of brought that up. That's kind of a league of its own. You know, it's all dependent on opportunities that are in the market. So
sure.
Wind, heavy haul, data centers through Tesla, Google, all of that stuff have been really hot lately.
Yeah.
There was an energy tax bill that was passed last or at the end of 2022. And so we expect wind projects to start kicking into gear. And heavy haul has been the one thing that kind of holds us strong in markets like this.
Okay.
And it's kind of why we like at ATS to diversify and make sure that we're, you know, not all of our eggs are in one basket.
Yeah. Okay. So heavy haul is more driven by, what would you say, like infrastructure expansion, mm-hmm. or like, I suppose it's driven by like big corporations expanding business.
Yeah. Yeah. And ATS is really focused on, you know, like Siemens, GE, Nordex, and these wind companies that are setting up wind farms throughout the U.S. So a lot of our attention and profit goes to those areas. But yeah, it's certain sectors in large growth that, you know, you're really dependent on huge government bills and stuff like that at that point.
Gotcha. What do you think for the dry van side, what do you think has been, why is it, you know,
slowing down? Retail is a big part, you know, less stores to stock up and less consumer spending habits. And there's a shift from COVID from needing everything in the store all at your fingertips and ready to go get it to now people are really focusing on their spending. We might hit a recession here and they're really being conscious of that. That's kind of been the biggest part of the van is just overall volume.
Personal consumption patterns kind of drive the van marketplace more than open deck and obviously the heavy haul stuff. Okay, so, you know, doing research for this podcast, I run across articles that talk about the spread between contract and spot rates. Can you talk to me about that? What does
that mean? A healthy balance of that. Like, yeah. There usually should be a little emphasis on contract. You're securing your capacity in an entire year long. You know, there should be a little premium in a healthy market for contract rates.
Okay.
And that's dominated heavily by those high-volume shippers. You got Walmart out there who just can't rely on the spot side. That would be very expensive for them to put every single one of their loads out to the spot board. So they really focus on contract rates. Those will intertwine. We've seen spot rates go higher, like I said, in 2021, where it's beneficial to spot for the carrier side of things. Yeah. And then it'll flip in a different market, like late 2022, where contract rates are cheaper, higher than spot rates.
So it's a measurement of like of contract levels, and then just the distance between where the spot rate is and where the majority of those contracts are at.
It's your opportunity right in front of you right now. If you hauled this load on a contract or a spot, what are your existing contract rates versus what are these companies going to give you on a similar lane? Now, we kind of try to keep that in mind when we're bidding these contracts. You know, we got to keep in the market. We're not going to say, just for fun of it, we're going to go 10% above the market intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, we got to make sure that we're staying competitive when we put that bid in. But it's just that bid is that contract's going to lock in for a full year. So you're going to have some months where you're ahead and you're making good money on that lane. And there's going to be some months where you're just taking it because you have that commitment level to the shipper that you have to. Sure. So.
So part of your job, to my understanding, is you kind of are, you play a role in like educating various members of our, or various segments of our organization on like, you know, what's a hot market going on right now. And it sounds like, do you have like regular meetings with operations and?
Yeah, we'll do a weekly pricing meeting with the flatbed side. That's where I kind of started. Yeah. That's the most impact that we've had so far. In there, we're talking about how healthy was the last week. We want to instill 10% growth every year. We want to instill, you know, a certain load count every single week. And that's with the direct operational side on the assets. But we keep in mind what kind of margin the opportunities that we're bringing in impact on the logistics side.
Yeah.
Making sure that we're not putting them underwater. So we break that out by region. We break it out by certain customer service reps, contracts out there, which ones we could renegotiate. We look at if, you know, we start to seeing a dip in load count, how can we fix it?
Okay.
How can we influence spot rates to help us in a certain area? If we have a lot of drivers that are getting stranded out in southern Minnesota, how do we drop rates to secure more volume to make sure that they're consistently loaded? So we're looking at those trends every single week.
Sure. Have you seen through 2023, have you seen anything like any region specifically that, you know, has been more difficult to service?
2023 has been tough. Any specific region, general seasonality on the flatbed side always kick in. So we're going to come into winter where drivers don't want to be up north.
Yeah.
Rates will really follow that. They're going to go down to Houston. Drivers are always comfortable in Houston. It's easy to cover. On the van side, we're restructuring our network, and we're trying to focus on these very pinpointed triangle lanes. And so that has had too much of an impact to really figure out what areas have been healthy otherwise. We're so focused on driving revenue in those areas. But, you know, you got reefer seasonality that'll flow through and impact your van freight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the major influences of the pricing that you're putting together when quoting an RFQ?
We're looking at a lot of different points, you know, and if we're approaching an existing customer, we want to make sure that this looks seamless to them and that we're offering, hey, this is what the market's at. This is how successful it's been for us. And on the brokerage side, we want to make sure that we're above market so then they can sell it, find a truck. That's an easy, you can build in your margin and you can make sure that you're profitable. On the asset side, we want to make sure that we're in network areas to make sure that those drivers are consistently loaded. And so we look at what lanes do we have a consistent outbound volume and we don't have enough inbound to feed it. So we know that those drivers are going to be bouncing in there empty. Well, if I have an RFQ or a contract in front of me, I can, and that has an inbound lane to a need we have, I'm going to be a lot more competitive to get that and just to stay loaded, keep those drivers happy and moving. So We keep in mind that balance of every one of those areas and making sure that we're in line. Yeah. and then the rates that follow, we make sure that we're with the market. We know what the customers see on these competitors that are going into a bid. We want to make sure that we're not overbidding for the sake of the relationship, and that we're tight with the market.
So a lot of the times, does it feel like your hands are kind of tied? You know, if you don't have the infrastructure in place, the customer base in place, it's like you can't be competitive.
Yeah, it is. You know, you have to. It's tough with the market right now because nobody wants to digest the rates. We have driver turnover. And you're trying to convince owner operators to take a load, even though it pays a dollar a mile. On top of that, we have a free fall decline in load count because we can't win the freight. We're not cheap enough to the customer.
Yeah.
There's always a balance between that.
Yeah. It's completely price driven on the customer side, I suppose. So if you're more expensive, that's really hard to sell.
It'll come and go. Like, we'll see cycles with our individual customers where for a while they'll hammer down their budget on transportation, and they're going to start going to brokers and the cheapest possible rate, kick us out of that.
Yeah.
And then they'll get burned one or two times where the service doesn't really follow their needs, or, you know, they're always late. They never hit their appointment windows. We lost a load. And then they come back to ATS, but the goal is really not to get to that point. We want to stay as competitive as possible and provide this level of service that we need to keep that customer content. Sure. So it is a balance.
Yeah. What is there a light at the end of this tunnel here? Are you seeing anything? Like, literally, dude, when I was doing research for this podcast, I was looking at different charts. Like, I'm not going to name the competitor websites, but like charts we don't have on our website.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's literally like it's a timeline over the past, like, you know, 15 or so years. And every chart you see is like this.
Yeah.
It's like wild. So and right now it looks like we were bottomed out.
Yeah.
And as far as like truckload rates go, and then we're going back up the slope.
You expect it to come back up.
Hopefully.
So if I'm going to make a bold suggestion or like assumption, I think we're at the bottom. Just like you said, you look at the graph and things have gotten so bad to this point. We can't picture them getting worse.
Yeah.
And I think there's some things that it would take to come up dramatically, though. I think we'll stay at this bottom. We're locking in a lot of contract rates, and I think it'll be a very slow uptick versus those dramatic, you know, uphill climbs. But there's a lot of influences to that. So if we see a major closing, that's kind of the big telltale. You know, there's been some minor shutdowns in the trucking world, but nothing with large capacity in the over-the-road side of things. So if there's a major shutdown and that capacity exits the market, well, now you have a lot of relief. You have, you know, you're going to be a little bit, there's less competition for every single load out there. So it naturally balances out. That, or there has to be a significant improvement to the U.S. economy where there's a lot more shipments, you know, to help feed these trucks. So I don't see any of those two things happening immediately. So I think that's why it'll be kind of a slow 10%, slow incline. I think about Q3, Q4 next year for the van world is kind of when you'll start to get back into the healthy side of the freight side and freight rates. But there's not going to be a freight party like there was in 2021 again until we really come out of this ahead.
Not for a while. Yeah. You talked to me a little bit about fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the you know, surcharges and stuff changed over this past year? I remember we were in like a, I can't remember when that was. I think it was earlier this year, but there was like a diesel short. It was like, we're going to have a diesel shortage because like one or two refineries shut down in the United States.
Yeah. We started hitting the reserves and fuel is the interesting part about the fuel is that your customer kind of owns part of that cost, and with a contract they lock in as fuel changes, we'll give you more or less money. So we are, our risk in fuel isn't as, until you start bidding all in freight 2 months down the road, you kind of lock yourself into a lot of uncertainty that way. But the biggest part about fuel that we look at is to the driver, what percentage is that fuel pay is my overall pay. And so right now, if I'm getting 65 cents a mile on fuel, but I'm only getting 60 miles in my line haul, well, half of my pay right now is coming from my fuel, and that's pretty frustrating. So in a healthy market, fuel's about 25% of your total pay.
Yeah.
Now, that'll completely ebb and flow with where the gas prices go versus where trucking rates go, and the fact that they act separately is healthy for us. But yeah, it's right now it's eating a big chunk of your overall pay if you're a driver.
Okay. So if you had to, give us kind of a projection of what you think 2024 might look like for from a transportation perspective. Like, what would you say, and what makes you think that? As far as rates go,
I think rates are on the uptick. I think it'll be a very heavy contract year. I think rates will come up about 10% on the van side up until Q3, and then from there it could be another 10% increase.
Sure.
To the end of the year. On the flatbed side, I think we're really locking in a lot of contracts right now.
Okay.
And I think those will stay pretty flat from where they are now.
Do those typically pop up before the first of the year?
Yes. So flatbeds, they like to lock them in for the fiscal year. You know, so January is usually, you know, where we want to go live with these rates. So right now is our busiest season on the flatbed side. Like I said, in the van world, when everything kind of changed and they held on for so long,
yeah,
they went to about January, February in 21 before they locked in contracts.
Just to see which way it was going.
And they locked in a 1-2 year contract. So now our peak season for them is January, February again. Sure. So it'll be, until we get those, it's pretty hard to tell where van rates are or where other people think they are. You know, we get live feedback on these bids and we can tell from there, are we sane in our rates right now? Or are we going to lose all the business we expected to win? And so from those, I just feel like next year is going to be a slow uptick, kind of flat. There are things that could really affect that. If fuel changes, you know, we are coming up on an election year.
Is
any war going to start peaking up where we have to start putting a lot of efforts on getting things to the coast and DOD shipments and all those things kind of can throw a big curveball and an unexpected fluctuation up or down. But for the most part, you know, we're starting to see some closures. Convoy just went down. And there's a small Montana trucking company with 273 drivers that went out too. So any of those that go down will have a really big ripple effect. And like I said, that could put the raise a lot faster. Rates could come up a lot faster than we expected.
Sure. I was meaning to ask you about this because I think we're in the midst of it here. What about, are you seeing a big uptick for retail season like you've seen in years past? Like, you know, like van volumes and...
Our van volume, we broke it down all by our market types, basically, and retail is coming up. We expect the general seasonality of December and the holidays to come up. But after that, we see a lot more movement in retail than we did about a year ago. It's promising on the retail side. In fact, most of those individual markets are coming up. And so, you know, there's some promise at the end of it there.
Cool. Nice, man. That's all I have.
Yeah.
You're going to have a good, what are you doing this weekend?
Nothing.
November 3rd.
You got a pregnant wife? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. But maybe I'll sneak out and go hunting though. She can fend for herself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what is it? Deer opener?
Yeah. Deer opener.
In Minnesota.
This weekend and next weekend.
Sweet. Yeah. Busy times in St. Cloud. Yeah. Okay. Well, you have been listening to Beyond the Road, the transportation industry podcast produced by Anderson Trucking Service. If you liked what you heard here today, make sure to follow along wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss our next episode, which we publish. We try to publish multiple times per month. For more information on the transportation industry, including what's going to be happening in the trucking markets each month and projection of 2024, you can head over to the ATS Learning Hub at atsinc.com/learning-hub. On the Learning Hub, you'll find a comprehensive library of answers to transportation's most common questions. That's marketing speak for you.
That's memorized. It's pretty good.
Yeah. In the form of articles, videos, case studies, podcasts like this one, downloadable tools, videos, and more, all created to help you become the supplier that always delivers for its customers. Once again, I'd like to thank Reed for joining us, and I am excited to speak to you again soon on another episode of Beyond the Road.